Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let me get to what I saw last night. Let's start with the losing team. You know, Baker Mayfield kind of ushered in a little bit of change in the NFL. Manziel wasn't big, didn't have a big arm, was drafted in the first round for Cleveland and failed. Mayfield was drafted number one overall, former walk-on, not a great athlete, not a ton of size, not huge hands, not any sort of freakish measurements other than heart and leadership and intangibles. His tangibles were good enough. And that seemed to open the door, and some of the success of Russell Wilson and Drew Brees seemed to open the door for Kyler Murray. And there were a lot of questions about Kyler Murray because, like, look, if you're going to draft, you're going to draft a second quarterback and just give away last year's number 10 overall pick so that a tiny little quarterback is going to run a college system, and is it going to work? I have to tell you guys, I feel like I may be the last one to this party. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. I think Kyler can play. I think he's better than Baker. No one questions whether or not he's a better athlete. He's got a better arm. He's more accurate. Granted, different passing scheme, and Baker seems to be pushing the ball down the field as opposed to a lot of the dink and dunks of what Arizona is doing, 64% to 57%. Kyler's got 9 touchdowns, throwing the football with an inferior offensive line, only 4 interceptions. Baker, 6 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. The Browns have, I would say, at least as good, if not better, wide receivers. They're way more productive in the run game. They have a better offensive line. It's not great, but it's better than what Arizona has, which is it's a sieve. And the style of blocking doesn't adjust well to the pros. I just look, and he throws a better ball. He's more accurate. He's more comfortable in the pocket. He's more athletic. Like, here's two quarterbacks from the same system, and I don't think it's actually particularly close. Don't think it's close. You watch Kyler Murray play, and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy can play. Remember, he's facing like a group of speed demons on the defensive line. They're just coming running at you, and he still, for the most part, is poised. Obviously, he gets hit. There's some negative plays, and he's gotten sacked now more than any quarterback in the NFL. But that doesn't stop him from standing up tall and picking apart the defense and making plays. That dude can play. Can play. You know, will he be a superstar? No idea. Will he be a star? Don't know. But can he play and can he evolve? And if the offense continues to change and get better and the line gets better, like, this dude can go. Whereas I legitimately don't know if Baker Mayfield is a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. There are misses. Right? Now, he'll get more time to prove that he doesn't belong, but not that much more time. I mean, we're almost done with Jameis. The Titans are done with Marcus Mariota. You only get a couple years, and once you get a reputation, it kind of gets established who you are and what you're about. Rosen's already done. Rosen will be on another team next year, and he'll be a backup. Kyler looks like a guy who's going to be a guy for a long time. You know, a prodigy, his dad a quarterback, the most successful quarterback in the state of Texas high school football. He got that extra time of studying during the year off when he was sitting out behind Baker Mayfield. And then when he got an opportunity, he was just a freak athlete who could make all of the different throws. And that has translated. With a better amount of pocket discipline, with better feet in and out of the pocket, throwing a better ball with a stronger arm, the only thing he lacks is 2 inches to be as tall as Baker Mayfield. Outside of that, that dude's a stud, man. Like, I think we have to be willing to believe that the Browns may have missed and the Cardinals may have hit, even if the Cardinals have missed even the year before. And that Steve Keim, you know, I mean, is Nick Bosa a better player right now? Yeah, but a quarterback affects more, and I kind of think he got it right. I don't know if he'll live to see the day where he can say I was right. But that was my takeaway from last. That's my biggest takeaway. My other takeaway is, I think Jimmy G's a dude. Keep in mind that the Niners didn't have either of their bookend tackles. Emmanuel Sanders is playing their first game with them. George Kittle went out with a little knee injury, and he had his first two completions broken up. I mean, Garoppolo, and they did a pretty good job against the running game of the Niners, especially in the first half. You know, Tevin Coleman didn't do much. Breida had one big long run. After that, outside of that, there wasn't 3.3 yards of carry, even with the 31-yard run from Breida. The Cardinals did a good job. Garoppolo is improving. You know, Garoppolo, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 28 of 37. But more than anything, you watch him go through his progressions, and you start to go, you know what? This guy can do it. This guy can do it. And we can all have our questions about what he does against the Cardinals and go, well, yeah, it's the Cardinals. But the week before, it was the Carolina Panthers, who are pretty good on defense. He's done well enough against the Rams. And more than anything, for a guy who hasn't started a full season in the NFL yet, he seems to be adjusting and learning and evolving. And when needed, without the guys that are normally designed to protect him, like his offensive tackles, he has stepped up and made a ton of plays. So it feels to me like you have two quarterbacks who are going to be in the league for a long time. Garoppolo looks like a dude. Garoppolo looks like he's growing into the team that is built around him. And Kyler Murray looks like he's a better player, a better prospect, a better young quarterback than Baker Mayfield, who from the same system precede him as the number one overall pick. And I think there's less sample size. But I feel like a blind man could see that. This was Jimmy G after the game when asked about being a game manager.
It doesn't bother me. I mean, most of the people saying this stuff are just, people, so it's their opinion. I don't know. You can't think too much about that stuff, but, it's not going to change who I am as a quarterback, whatever. It's what it is, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's again, the politically correct non-answer. And it's smart. What's the use of fighting people who are saying things that don't matter? You manage a game and you manage to win every one of those games, who actually cares? I thought last night he showed some signs of being far more than a game manager, kind of more of a dude. One of those guys that can carry a team when things aren't going right. The running game wasn't great. The protection wasn't great. He was working in a new wide receiver. Kittle was out of the game for a little bit. They come back in. He starts making some big, strong throws, deadly accurate, reading the defense, and winning a game. Like, am I buying all of the stock and telling you he's the next Aaron Rodgers? No, but he's a dude. He leads. He's good enough. He knows who his go-to guy is. He knows how to get in the ball, that being George Kittle.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's fascinating about the Cam Newton thing is when you hear Liz Frank injury, generally, that means somebody's season is done, right? That's usually what it means. Somebody's season is in fact done. And Cam Newton was expected to be back this week. Of course, he isn't back this week. And what's ended up happening is that he's going to Green Bay, where a noted foot specialist is going to examine him. This was Chris Sims, Football Night in America, earlier this week.
At this moment, I mean, yes, because the one thing we learned, the first 2 weeks of the year, I mean, Carolina, the football team, played good football. They could have won the first two games. It was there to be had in week one against the Rams, certainly there to be had against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on that Thursday night game. the flaw of the team those first 2 weeks was Cam Newton. And I don't like saying that because I think Cam Newton is like a really, really special player. But he missed throws and made reads in those games that were just inexcusable. And, of course, now we know he wasn't totally healthy. And, of course, he was battling with coming back from the shoulder injury to begin with. But, man, did he miss a lot of throws those first 2 weeks.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. He really did. He really did. And, look, they can get out of the Cam Newton business at the end of this year if they desire to do so. And with every passing day, you know, I don't think Brandon Allen is the future, but he's not a bad placeholder. I mean, Kyle Allen, I'm sorry. Brandon Allen starting for the Denver Broncos this week. My bad. You know, there's too many. Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. Got to get my Allen straight. But it's one of those, like, look, I don't want to call it over, but we're in a league where the running quarterback has a short small window, right? You're in a league where efficiency is important, and he's never been crazy efficient. He's no longer the face of that offense, let alone, even though he's probably still the face, Christian McCaffrey's the face of the offense, probably the face of the franchise. There's a lot that goes with him, right? There's just a lot. Like, he's a former MVP. There's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of Carmelo and Allen Iverson there, where he might be done sooner just because it's like, is Cam Newton going to be anybody's backup? Like, no, just doesn't strike anybody as a backup quarterback. I don't know any MVP to come out the bench, right? And he's not healthy. And when you're Cam Newton, who's 6'6", 240 pounds, just a complete freight train, and you're not healthy, especially lower body, like, how can you help us? How can you help us? He's never been accurate. He's never been a guy who goes through progressions and picks you apart. That's not him. Remember, he was completing 56% of his passes before he announced he had a foot issue and he had to walk away. 56%. Hadn't thrown a touchdown pass in either of the two games that he played in. Pocket passers can be banged up. They can have ankle things. They can have knee things. I mean, they can still be effective because they just got to get to their spot and try and get their base and throw from their core. They can still do it. When you're Cam Newton, if you're not completely right, you're like a thoroughbred, man. You're super temperamental to anything going wrong. It doesn't feel too early to say, man, Cam Newton might have played his last game as a Carolina Panther. Because a Liz Frank injury can shut you down for the year. Here we are at the time in which he was expected to be back, and he's not back, and it's so bad he's going to get a second. Something isn't right with that foot. And considering the reputation Cam Newton has, and I think most people who watch football are reasonable about how they feel about Cam Newton's reputation. But I also think it's very, very fair to wonder if he's played his last game as a Carolina Panther. And if he's played his last game as Carolina Panther, I think he'd get an opportunity elsewhere. I don't know it for sure, but I also know that Cam Newton is not a backup quarterback. Right, like backup quarterbacks, their sole job is to get the starter ready. They don't make much money. They just sit, you know, Bridgewater is like the exception, but that's because Bridgewater still has a long future in front of him. Most of those guys make less than $2 million a year, and the only job that they have is to get the starter ready and to be a complete encyclopedia of the game. That's not who Cam is. I mean, imagine if you took away Lamar Jackson's ability to run. And Cam Newton has a stronger arm, but is equally inaccurate in the short and intermediate stuff. And, you know, has never been a guy that's kind of picked apart defenses intellectually.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Ben Volen covers the entire National Football League. Of course, he does have an expertise in years of covering the New England Patriots. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We're creeping closer and closer to never seeing Cam Newton play in a Carolina Panther uniform again, aren't we?
Yeah, I was actually looking this up earlier today, Dougie, and the Panthers next year, they can clear $19 million in cash and salary cap if they move on from Cam Newton, if they, you know, release him or trade him to another team. And Kyle Allen, you know, I don't know if he's the answer, but he's been playing pretty well so far. And, you know, usually also when you bring in a new owner, you know, that's when big changes can happen, you know, new quarterback, new head coach. So I think it's definitely kind of a career crossroads moment for Cam Newton right now.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I, you know, if things were going swimmingly with his rehab, he wouldn't go get another opinion, right? Like, this is not a good sign.
No, it can't be a good sign. And here we are, it's week 9 and his foot's not getting better and he has to fly out to Wisconsin to see the, you know, the country's one of the renowned foot specialists, the guy who also happened to be the Panthers team doctor for a while. So, no, it's obviously not a good sign for the Panthers. And I think there's also a sense from Carolina that's like, Cam, you know, take your time coming back from this injury. You know, we're okay here right now. Kyle Allen's actually played pretty well, you know, last week's loss to San Francisco notwithstanding. So, you know, it's interesting how this whole thing has gone down. Cam Newton didn't throw a football pretty much all summer, and we didn't know where he'd be at with his arm strength. He comes back and tries to play in the preseason, then he gets injured in you know, one of these meaningless preseason games, and he's out for almost the whole season now. It's just this injury that's lingered for him. So, and this is a guy that's a mobile quarterback, Doug. This is a guy who's, you know, made a career on being one of the biggest and fastest guy on the field. And if he's having all these, you know, his body's breaking down now, you know, just not good signs for Cam Newton, and not where you'd want to see him as he enters, what is he, 29, 30 years old? I mean, you'd want him to be healthy and you know, still on an upward trajectory with his career. And I think there are way more questions now than answers with Cam Newton.
All right, let's get to the Patriots. Ben Volin, our guest in the Doug Gottlieb Show, senior NFL writer, Boston Globe. They've been just dismantling football teams. Now they face another young quarterback, another second-year quarterback in Lamar Jackson. What do you think we see from the Patriots defensively as they'll try and limit Lamar?
Yeah, you know, Belichick had an interesting quote earlier today, and you think, oh, it's Lamar Jackson. He's a mobile quarterback. You got to spy him. Make sure you put Jamie Collins on him and spy him all over the place. And Belichick was like, there's not a defensive front seven player in the league who can match speed with Lamar Jackson. So if you try to spy him with a linebacker, I mean, forget about it. He's just going to run circles around you. I mean, the key obviously is to keep this guy contained in the pocket, make him try to operate as a pocket passer, whether you're just, you know, rushing three and just trying to keep him contained. You know, Belichick's done that before where he's not too worried about sacks. He's not too worried about getting pressure. Just let him sit around back there and pat the ball and dance around. So that certainly will be a tactic. They're going to have to use their secondary. They're speedy guys like McCourty and Jonathan Jones, Patrick Chung. Those are the guys that are going to have to spy Lamar Jackson. I remember there was a game against Tyrod Taylor a couple years ago. A lot of times they use both their cornerbacks kind of in like a dual spy role, just kind of keeping him contained and not giving him those huge chunks of grass to run around out there. I mean, you saw what he did against Seattle 2 weeks ago, just ripping off these huge runs. He only completed 9 of 20 passes, but they still won by 2 touchdowns because they just ran the heck out of the ball. So, you know, obviously just keeping him contained and making him operate as a pocket passer, that's the key. And, you know, if anyone can do it, it's Bill Belichick. He's got a long history of being able to do that stuff.
That's the voice of Ben Volin. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. In their heart of hearts, do they think Lamar Jackson's a good enough thrower to beat him?
No, but they're worried about what he can do with his feet. And his feet are dangerous enough that it makes his arm dangerous, too. I mean, he's not completely inept out there. I mean, he's better than Tebow throwing the football.
Right.
He throws some really nice deep balls to their tight end, Mark Andrews, this young kid from Oklahoma. They love running him down the seams, down the middle of the field. He's really their big play threat. And, you know, Lamar Jackson will get him outside the pocket. They'll, you know, do a lot of play action passes. His offensive coordinator is Greg Roman, who was the 49ers offensive coordinator when Kaepernick was there, and they went to the Super Bowl. And then Roman did pretty well for 2 years in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor. he's run the ball very well against the Patriots with those mobile quarterbacks over the past decade or so. So, this is a well-coached team with Harbaugh and Greg Roman and Wink Martindale on the defensive side. Just a good team that's not going to be afraid of seeing the big bad Patriots on Sunday night. And no, Lamar Jackson is not a pocket passer. If he's throwing the ball 35 times a game, the Ravens are in trouble. But this kid he's an athletic unicorn, and he can do things that no one else can. So the Patriots know they have their challenge for them on Sunday.
What did the world learn about Jimmy Garoppolo last night?
The kid can play, man. Jimmy G, all he does is make plays. Third down, he was unstoppable. I think all four of his touchdowns were on third or fourth down. He kept converting, third and 10, third and 9. Everyone keeps calling him a game manager. That's the biggest nonsense I've ever heard. Jimmy G just makes plays, and the way that he makes them, avoiding the pass rush, stepping up in the pocket, finding the clean throwing lane, throwing with anticipation when the receiver is not even out of his break yet. Jimmy G is 16-2 as a starter, and that is not by accident. And I think most importantly, he's 14-2 without Belichick, so it's not just a product of the system. This kid can play, and I don't know how the rest of the country feels, but I am just fingers crossed to dying for a Brady Garoppolo Super Bowl. I think that would just be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it'd be pretty special. Obviously, I can't wait to see Niners Packers, right? Because Aaron Rodgers never forgets that the Niners passed on him, and him against that pass rush as well. That should be super interesting. I was more impressed he had all that patience and poise without his offensive tackles. Granted, it's Arizona, but how surprised are you by Brissett and how good he's been?
He's been really good. I know that all offseason, Chris Ballard kept saying he's a top 20 quarterback, and I think he's justifying that right now. I don't know if Brissett ultimately is, a guy who's going to win in the playoffs, but this team did not bat an eye when Andrew Luck retired. Jacoby Brissett had been their quarterback all offseason, all throughout training camp, and the players all universally love him there. And he might be someone you might want to call a game manager. He might be someone that, if as long as they're winning ball games there, he might only be throwing for 190, 200 yards. But Jacoby is just a really smart, heady player. Always makes the right decision and has pulled out some tough wins in the fourth quarter. I know the Denver win wasn't pretty last week, but he still came through in the clutch when it mattered the most. So, I think right now you've got Brady is number one seed in the AFC, Brissett is the number two seed, and Jimmy Garoppolo is the number one seed over in the NFC. So I guess the Patriots know a thing or two about picking quarterbacks.
Yeah, but they didn't for so long, and now all of a sudden then they had a little run there. Like it's absolutely nuts. Dolphins Jets, it's the toilet bowl, right? Neither team's franchise really wants to win. But the Jets are in this weird place where they're like, oh wait, we're all trade bait. How do you think they react Sunday?
Yeah, it's like if you win, you lose, and you lose, you win for either of those teams. I just don't think any team wants to be known as the team that finally lost to the Dolphins. Like that team is just so bad this year that you don't want to wear that scarlet letter of being the first team to lose to them. And the Dolphins have been more competitive recently. They're going with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Which, again, I don't understand. I thought they're trying to lose, so they should clearly start playing Josh Rosen, because if they're not careful, Fitzpatrick's actually going to win a few of these games. They've been playing well in the first half and just can't put it together for 60 minutes. But, the Jets are just, as usual, a mess, a total dumpster fire. And I think a lot of it's just because they can't keep anything in-house. All this stuff about Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell, all these guys being on the trade block. Do you think that would ever happen in New England? Do you think we would ever know about any of that stuff? It's just, it's all coming out, and it's almost like they embrace the drama there, and they play it up. They like the attention, even if it's negative attention. But you knew it was going to be a disaster when you allowed Mike Maccagnan to spend all this money on free agents. He didn't see eye to eye with the coach, and then they fire the GM after handing out all these contracts and all this big money. So that's just, that's an experiment that's been doomed to fail from the start. Maybe Joe Douglas, the new GM, and Adam Gase can get this thing cleaned up next year. But the Jets are just a mess, and they have no leadership at the top. And just a very leaky organization where everything just seems to get out, and you hear about all the drama going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's totally true. I had a friend who's from another team who saw, like, only the Jets does everything get out. Like, literally everything gets out. I got to tell you, like, the Dwayne Haskins thing, he's got a little Nate Peterman to him where he can't stop turning it over. He looks ill-prepared. And he's going to Buffalo where, I know final score they got thumped, but that was actually a tie game with Buffalo maybe going in to take the lead before half. This one feels like a no shot he succeeds. Is Haskins as ill-prepared as our eyes lead us to believe?
It sure seems like it, and I think it's probably what got Jay Gruden fired. He didn't want to play the kid, or he didn't think he was ready, and the ownership, you know, wanted to spend more time developing Haskins. That's what you have to wonder is, you know, reps are so precious nowadays in practices, and there's only so much time for everything to go around. Really only your starter is getting the reps, so how much practice has Dwayne Haskins really gotten this year as he's been the backup for most of the season? You know, has he really been, how much of the playbook can he really absorb? He's now, what is this? He's going to play Buffalo this week. That is one of, I think, no question, one of the top defenses in the league. They really smothered Tom Brady and the Patriots earlier this year. And you're going in there into Buffalo, that's never a fun place to play either. You got fans jumping through tables and throwing stuff on the field. So that's going to be a tough environment for Dwayne Haskins. But, you know, maybe it's not about just the Buffalo game. It's just about getting him reps and getting him action. And for a lot of these guys, the only way for them to learn is to do it. And if he throws a few pick sixes, you know, so be it. Peyton Manning led the league in interceptions his rookie year, too. So, the Redskins are probably just taking the long-term view at this point.
The Cleveland Browns take on the Denver Broncos. Broncos announced Joe Flacco's on IR, so he's done for the year. They're going to start Brandon Allen. And a lot of us are focused on who Cleveland plays coming down the stretch. They have a very, very soft schedule. But my thought is, like, hey, when you get 13 penalties, you're beating yourself. Forget about who you play. Are we overestimating Cleveland's talent as they head into Denver and people kind of handing them a needed win?
Well, they have a lot of talent. I think Cleveland's issue is they just put too much on Freddie Kitchens' plate. This is a guy who has never really been an offensive coordinator before. He's just been a position coach until, you know, last year. He finds himself middle of the season, elevated to offensive coordinator on an interim basis. Then all of a sudden he's getting the head coaching job. And so he's a first-time head coach, and he's running the offense and calling plays, and he's got to develop Baker Mayfield, and they've got to figure out how to get Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry the ball because those guys are complaining or they're not happy with their production. And like, oh, by the way, he's also going to be the head coach for the entire season. It's just way too much on Freddie Kitchens' plate. And you see that, you know, in they're playing the Patriots, and it's 4th and 11, and Kitchens wants to go for it, but then he sees the punt team out on the field because they weren't able to communicate it correctly, and he's got to take a penalty because he wants to save his last time. It's just he's ill-prepared, and you know, he's making another mistake, I think. He's going out to Denver today for 2 days to try to acclimate in the altitude.
And you're supposed to do the opposite.
Exactly. You're supposed to do the opposite.
The longer you're there, the more it affects you.
Yeah, exactly. So I know when the Patriots go there, they get there Saturday night, they get in, they get out. So I just think, you know, the Browns did themselves in by not hiring a more experienced head coach. They should have hired like a Jim Caldwell just to oversee things and let Freddie Kitchens be the offensive coordinator and just worry about that. I just think ownership and the structure there in Cleveland, they just put too much on Freddie Kitchens' plate.
Awesome stuff. Ben Volin, the Boston Globe. Follow him on Twitter. He's got incredible insight on the entire National Football League. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks, Dougie.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, he hosts the wildly successful 3 and Out podcast. He's the one and only John Middlecoff, former NFL scout. Follow him on Twitter, on Facebook. Great stuff. Unbelievable insight. All right, I'm going to give you my takeaways, and you give me your thoughts. Let's start with Kyler Murray. I think he can play. I think he's better than Baker. I know he's a super confident kid, but he doesn't make the verbal mistakes with the media, at least to this point, that Baker's made. He's a better athlete. He's got a better arm. He's smaller. I think he lasts longer and is better than Baker Mayfield.
Doug, you might have had a chance as an NFL scout. I mean, you got a pretty good eye. I'm going to have to say I agree with you there. You know, anyone that knows anything about football, if you watched that game last night, and really if you've watched, you know, a game like last night for a team like the Cardinals, unless your team's played them, no one's seen them. He's been, I think, a lot better than people think, because you can look at his numbers and they're not great. He's got a little Russell Wilson to him in the sense that he's not always looking to run. And, I mean, he moves in the pocket. DeForest Buckner compared him to like a little squirrel. But his arm is so potent, and he can make these throws when he's rolling out, you know, and the play kind of breaks down. I'm sure why Billy Beane was salivating over getting him in center field. I mean, can you imagine if he would have stuck with baseball, he would have been gunning people out from the outfield. The guy can play. You know, I call me old school, I guess. I hate the spread offense. But, like, if I got that kid, I get why they're running it. And they really, you know, Christian Kirk's banged up. Larry's so old. Their two starting running backs were out. Like, it was pretty impressive. 49ers are probably gassed. You know, it's a short week, travel week. But he was kind of gashing them with a bunch of kind of randoms. I was impressed.
Yeah, and then we go over to Garoppolo, and, like, dude, I like him. You don't have your starting tackles. You're on the road. You got a new wide receiver in Emmanuel Sanders. You got to work in kind of quickly. He didn't get rattled when George Kittle had those two passes kind of broken up early, still found him for that first touchdown pass. Like, it feels like he's always appeared to be confident, maybe too much so, but it appears to be kind of growing in confidence. Look at how well he competed on third down. I learned and liked a lot about Garoppolo.
He's been the best third down quarterback even before last night in the league this season. You know, the one thing that I've been most impressed with, just I watch him really closely, obviously, being in the Bay, is that he brings a lot of New England to him. You know, he's not a super high guy, not a super low guy, because it was pretty ugly in training camp, you know, throwing the picks, and Kyle was on him. And Kyle even said he thought that was the best game he ever played. Definitely for him, but I'd probably argue in the NFL. Now, it was against the Cardinals, but it was more just how it looked. Like you said, missing the two tackles. Chandler Jones, one of the best pass rushers in the league. Suggs, still decent. And Jimmy's just pretty unfazed by pressure. You know, he should thank his lucky stars, because he learned he was drafted into the best and got to sit around Josh, Bill, and Tom for 3.5 years, and then he got to go to Kyle. And his fundamentals and then his natural – he said something last night in his press conference that I thought was interesting. He said sometimes when there's a bunch of time in the pocket, he doesn't like it as much, just because – you know, he likes letting his instincts kick in. And sometimes I think you see when he's got to subtly move in the pocket and just kind of make plays is when he's at his best. Sometimes when he's made mistakes is when there's just a bunch of time and you're just kind of thinking back there and, you know, you're kind of going through your progressions. You're like, I think I can mix this in. But when you're just playing, you don't really think, you know. And he is a natural, instinctive player. And last night he was dialed.
Yeah, he was really, really good. John Middlecoff is our guest. Three and Out is the podcast, All Football and the Herd Podcast Network. You know, it's interesting. Last quarterback to play like a perfect game in Arizona was Alex Smith, right? That was right before Alex Smith lost his starting. He got the concussion. They lost his starting job. But so sometimes Arizona is a little bit of a stat padding game. But I thought we learned that from those two quarterbacks. Cam's going to go have his foot looked at by a specialist in Green Bay. He was supposed to start playing now, and now he's having his foot. It feels like that foot ain't right, that he's going to be shut down.
Yeah, that's what you'd guess. I think the big picture is, you know, if they were to move on from him this offseason, you know, a team that's going to take, it's more than a flyer. I mean, you'd be aggressive in getting the guy. You'd have to know, because if he can't run around anymore, and he's basically just kind of what Ben's been the last 3 or 4 years, you know, so big but more of a statue than the guy that can move around in the pocket and make plays and he can't run, I'd throw a pretty big red flag on the rest of his career. I mean, his foot for that individual, like if Kirk Cousins had this, you'd be like, well, as long as he can still move around, he'll be okay.
Right.
For it being Cam Newton, you know, that's pretty scary.
He also can't be a backup. Like, he's just not, that's not who he is.
No, I mean, I that sucks for him. I mean, it's his career. If his foot really is messed up and he's going to be a shell of himself in terms of moving around, his career is in some trouble.
John Middlecoff joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Belichick's essentially defense coordinator now. I feel like this is something he's looking forward to. What do you think he does to try and limit Lamar Jackson?
That's a good question. You noticed last night, there were a couple plays where Dee Ford, who is probably more athletic than anyone the Patriots have, when he would smoke the tackle, he'd just kind of come to a stop. Because when you play a Kyler or Lamar, if you overrun him, and Lamar way more than Kyler will take off. So I would imagine they've coached all week long, that front four or front five or however many they're sending is going to be very careful about the pass rush. And just basically, because the way I'd play it is, well, I got the best secondary in the league. We're going to play you straight up, and we're not going to let you beat us with your legs. You're going to have to beat us in the air, and we'll just cover you guys man-to-man. Willie Snead, I don't know if Marquise Hollywood Brown's back, whoever you got, see if you can get open on us and see if you can pick us apart, because we don't think you can. And in fairness to Lamar, no one can, because their secondary's been the best in the league this year. So to me, that's probably the chess match. Like, you can't – part of the reason Seattle lost to them was because Lamar kicked their ass with his legs.
Right.
You can't let them – if you're going to lose to them, you got to make him throw for 300-plus yards. Like the Chargers, what did they do last year? Play like 10 DBs. And we're like, Okay, see if you can throw at us on Lamar. And he can't. Now, he's gotten better, but this is like a Harvard Business School class against the hoodie.
Vikings, Chiefs. The Vikings have the makings of the teams that have beaten the Chiefs in Kansas City. Run the football, quality defense, but run the football and keep Mahomes off the field. Do you think they can against the Chiefs this weekend?
Well, do we think Mahomes is playing? Do you? Because I would lean he probably doesn't, but it's hard to tell, right?
I don't know if he's playing. I don't care if he is. Even if he is playing, I'd still like the Vikings because I still think they do the same thing. And I think you limit Mahomes and what you're going to put him out there.
Yeah, I mean, the way the Kansas City is going to have to beat a good team is they're going to have to play some defense. And they couldn't get stops last week in critical spots. So Matt Moore, like at the end of the day, if Matt Moore doesn't play, he still was good enough last week. Now, the Vikings defense, to me, is playing better than the Packers defense and those pass rushers, so it would be a pretty big challenge. Right now, Dalvin Cook is probably just, I don't know if he's the best player in the league or anything, I'm not saying that, but he's my favorite player to watch. He's dominant inside the tackles, he can run outside the tackles, he's a great screen running back. In that scheme, he's perfect. And then he's so violent. Remember how violent Adrian Peterson was in his peak, like with the ball in his hands? That's what this guy, I mean, if you're going to tackle him, you better bring it, because he is bringing it to you. So this would be, the Chiefs kind of need to get their mojo back. You know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, before Mahomes' ankle and then his knee, we're like, well, it's a two-team race, right? It's just the Chiefs and the Patriots. Well, they keep losing these games. You're going to go, well, it's just a one-team race? Now, obviously, if Mahomes is healthy, but it's hard to get healthy if they're not going to get a playoff bye, if they're just kind of, you know, forcing them back in. They need to get a win, you know, to start feeling good about themselves. And I'm with you. This is a really tough matchup. And the way the Chiefs have been playing, it would be hard to bet against them in this game, even if it is on the road.
Colin is convinced the Browns turn around because their schedule is so soft. I'm not convinced you go into Denver. They're starting Brandon Allen. He'll give him a little pop, even though he's young. You know, he'll execute the game plan, play to their defense. More than anything, the Browns beat themselves all the time. Do you think the Browns turn around starting this week?
Doug, I'm with you. I don't agree with Colin at all. I think that, one, yeah, Fangio, I mean, it hasn't gotten perfect, but they are not, like, they're 2-6, but they could easily be 4-2. Every game comes down to the last 5 minutes. They don't feel like just some debacle. And like you said, Denver, Mile High, is just a unique place in itself. This team is not, the way we talk about the Redskins and the Bengals and the Dolphins, that is not the Broncos. Now, the curveball is this quarterback. But look at the Browns are falling apart. I mean, they got Baker's losing it. You just feel the pressure in that building. Of course there is. They're 2-5. The Broncos now are at the point where they don't really have anything to lose. I just think that everyone keeps saying, well, their schedule's so easy. Well, yeah, if they were the Patriots or the Chiefs or the 49ers, then you'd be like, they're going to round. But who's to say that this Cleveland Browns team is beating anybody? You know, I don't see it that way at all. I'm with you. I don't know if they're going to lose. Like, I wouldn't bet this game, but I'm with you. I by no means think it's just some lock like every person seems to think on Twitter.
John Middlecoff, Three and Outs, the podcast, follow on Facebook, on any sort of social media. It's great stuff. And download that podcast. It's a really, really good one. Enjoy the football. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Duggar. Have a good one.